Welcome to the GCSE Art and Design Study Podcast. I'm your guide for today, and we're diving deep into one of the most rewarding themes in the OCR specification, landscape. Whether you're working on your portfolio right now, preparing for your externally set task, or just trying to get your head around what examiners actually want, you are in exactly the right place. Grab your sketchbook, get comfortable, and let's get started. So, what is the landscape theme really about? At its core, it's an invitation to look at the world around you, really look at it, and respond to it through art. That could mean rolling countryside, dramatic coastlines, urban streets, industrial architecture, or even the intimate landscape of a garden or a rooftop. The theme is deliberately broad, and that's a good thing. It gives you creative freedom. But here's the key. Examiners want to see your personal response to a real place, not a copy of someone else's photograph from the internet. Let's talk about the four assessment objectives, because everything you do in this unit is marked against them, and they each carry exactly 25% of your marks. That's equal weighting, so you cannot afford to neglect any one of them. Assessment objective one is about developing ideas through critical understanding of sources. This means your artist research, but, and this is crucial, it does not mean writing a biography of J.M.W. Turner or listing the dates of Cezanne's paintings. Examiners award marks for analysis. How does Turner use color to convey atmosphere? How does Cezanne's use of geometric planes create a sense of structure in a landscape? You need to get under the skin of an artist's technique, and then, this is the bit most candidates miss, show how their approach has influenced your own work. That connection between your research and your making is what earns the higher marks. Assessment objective two is about refining your work through experimentation and manipulation of media. This is your development work, your sketchbook pages where you try things out, make mistakes, and solve problems. Examiners love to see a candidate who has varied the viscosity of their acrylics to see how it changes texture, or who has experimented with layering digital media to build depth. What they do not want is a sketchbook full of neat, perfect little copies. They want evidence of genuine inquiry. Show your failures. Annotate why something didn't work and what you did next. That problem-solving process is worth marks. Assessment objective three is about recording your ideas through primary observation. This is your plein air sketching, your original photography, your observational drawings made from life. Primary sources are the lifeblood of a strong landscape portfolio. If your sketchbook is full of images you've downloaded from Google, examiners will notice and they will penalize it. Get outside, draw the view from your window, photograph your local park at different times of day, sketch the rooftops from your bedroom. The quality of your observation is what separates a good portfolio from a great one. Assessment objective four is about presenting a personal and meaningful response, your final piece. This is where everything comes together. Your final piece should feel like the natural conclusion of a journey. From your initial primary observations, through your artist research, through your experimentation, to a resolved, confident outcome. Examiners evaluate the synthesis. Does this final piece demonstrate that the candidate has genuinely engaged with the theme and developed a personal visual language? Now let's talk about some of the key artists and movements you should know for the landscape theme. J.M.W. Turner is essential. His atmospheric landscapes, think rain, steam, and speed, or his watercolor studies of Venice, demonstrate masterful use of light and color to convey mood. Turner worked from primary observation, making rapid sketches on location before developing finished works in his studio. For your annotation, you might write, Turner's use of warm golden tones in the foreground and dissolving cool blues in the background creates a powerful sense of atmospheric perspective, drawing the viewer's eye into the depth of the composition. Paul Cézanne is another artist you should know deeply. His post-impressionist landscapes of Mont-Saint-Victoire show how a subject can be returned to repeatedly, each time revealing new formal qualities. Cézanne used short, directional brushstrokes and a limited palette to build up planes of color that suggest form and space. His work is a brilliant reference for candidates exploring how mark-making can create structure. For a more contemporary reference, consider David Hockney. His large-scale iPad drawings and paintings of the Yorkshire Wolds show that landscape art is very much alive in the 21st century. Hockney's bold, flat colors and multiple viewpoints challenge traditional perspective. And they're a fantastic reference if you're working digitally or exploring color in an expressive way. Georgia O'Keeffe's New Mexico landscapes offer a different angle entirely. Close-up, abstracted, deeply personal responses to the American Southwest. If you're interested in moving beyond literal representation toward a more personal, emotional response to landscape, O'Keeffe is a brilliant reference. And don't overlook photographers. Ansel Adams' black and white photographs of Yosemite are extraordinary studies in tonal range, composition, and the sublime in nature. If you're working with photography as part of your primary recording, Adams's use of the zone system, deliberately controlling tonal values from pure black to pure white, is worth analyzing. Now let's cover some essential technical vocabulary. You need to use these terms in your annotations and, if applicable, in any written exam components. Atmospheric perspective, also called aerial perspective, refers to the way distant objects appear lighter, cooler in color, and less detailed than objects in the foreground due to the atmosphere between the viewer and the subject. This is one of the most powerful tools for creating a sense of depth in landscape work, horizon line, the line at eye level where the sky meets the land or sea. Its placement in your composition dramatically affects the mood. A high horizon line gives a sense of expansiveness and ground. A low horizon line emphasizes the sky and creates drama. Foreground, midground, and background, the three spatial planes in a landscape composition. Strong landscape work typically differentiates these planes through color temperature, detail, and tonal contrast. Plein air, from the French for open air, refers to painting or drawing outdoors directly from observation. This is the gold standard for primary recording in landscape work. Topography, the physical features and contours of a landscape, hills, valleys, rivers, built structures. Understanding topography helps you make informed compositional decisions. Composition, the arrangement of visual elements within the picture plane. Key compositional devices for landscape include the rule of thirds, leading lines, framing, and the golden ratio. Tonal range, the full spectrum of light and dark values in a work, from the lightest highlight to the deepest shadow. A wide tonal range creates drama and depth. Now, exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. The single biggest mistake is over-reliance on secondary sources. I cannot stress this enough. If your portfolio is built on images you found online, you are limiting your marks in Assessment Objective 3 before you've even started. Get out and observe. Even a quick 15-minute sketch from a window is worth more than a polished copy of a photograph. The second most common mistake is superficial annotation. Writing, "I used blue paint for the sky," earns you nothing. Writing, "I used a cool, desaturated blue in the background to create atmospheric perspective, inspired by Turner's technique of dissolving distant forms into light," that earns marks. Every annotation should answer the question, why did you make this choice, and how does it connect to your research? Third mistake, a disconnect between the portfolio and the final piece. Your final piece should feel like it grew organically from your development work. If your sketchbook is full of watercolor studies and your final piece is a digital collage with no apparent connection, examiners will question the coherence of your journey. Plan your final piece early and let your development work genuinely inform it. Fourth, not documenting your refinement process. Examiners want to see how you solved problems. If you tried a composition and it didn't work, keep that page in your sketchbook and annotate it. This composition felt unbalanced because the horizon line was central, creating equal sky and land areas with no focal point. I resolved this by repositioning the horizon to the lower third and introducing a strong vertical element, a tree, at the right-hand intersection of the rule of thirds grid. That kind of analytical annotation is exactly what the mark scheme rewards. Now for our quickfire recall quiz. Cover up your notes and try to answer these from memory. Question 1. What does AO3 assess and what is the best way to evidence it in your portfolio? Question 2. Name 3 key artists relevant to the landscape theme and identify one specific technique each artist uses. Question 3. What is atmospheric perspective and how would you create it using paint? Question 4. What is the difference between descriptive and analytical annotation? Give an example of each. Question 5. What percentage of your total mark does each assessment objective carry? How did you do? If you struggle with any of those, go back to your notes and make sure you can answer them confidently. They represent the core knowledge you need for this unit. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points from today. 1. Primary observation is non-negotiable. Get outside, sketch from life, take your own photographs. Examiners heavily reward genuine engagement with the real world. 2. Artist research must be analytical, not biographical. Focus on technique, composition, color, and conceptual intent, and always link your research to your own making. 3. your development work should show genuine experimentation and problem solving. Document your failures as well as your successes. 4. Annotation is your voice in the portfolio. Make it analytical, specific, and connected to your research. 5. Your final piece is the synthesis of your entire journey. Plan it early, let it grow from your development work, and make sure it demonstrates a confident, personal response to the landscape theme. You've got this. The landscape theme is one of the most open and creatively rewarding themes in the specification. It gives you the freedom to respond to the world in your own way. Trust your observations, be analytical in your thinking, and let your sketchbook tell the story of a genuine creative journey. Good luck with your portfolio, and I'll see you in the next episode. Keep making, keep looking, keep thinking.